Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
So I'm excited to be sharing this morning. We've been doing a whole series on kingdom building. So everyone just say kingdom building. And let's see, we've got our hammers here. Again, if you were here last week, we gave out these little hammers to anyone who, specifically last weekend, it was for anyone who was giving, because we were talking about how our finances are building God's kingdom in the world. But if you don't have a hammer yet, make sure you grab one. They're really cool, and they do hurt. A couple of the youth were having a bit of a hammer war after, so just as a little warning, they are metal. But we are building God's kingdom, and last week we talked about generosity, but today I felt like we were supposed to talk about rest. And who needs a nap? Anyone need a nap? Great. Okay, don't take a nap now, all right? But after this message, feel free. One of the greatest, this person will remain anonymous, but they had been having a really hard time sleeping. And they, someone came up to me after service a while ago, and they were like, they finally slept. And I was like, that's great. And they're like, right during your message. And I was like, but you know what? It actually was a miracle. So I don't care. Look, if God wants to give you peace and sleep in church, God bless you, right? Hey, whatever he's doing, we want to partner with that, right? In all honesty, though, last Sunday, I was so exhausted. I went home and I slept 3 hours. I've never done that. I don't know what was wrong with me, but it was just the season change and everything. So naps are important. I'm spiritual about rest, and that's great to talk spiritually. But when you look at the story of Elijah, and you got, Ahab and Jezebel and all of that, and when he was hiding out, he actually says, it says that like God fed him and he rested, right? So if you're tired, it's actually okay to take a nap and eat some food. Sometimes God might just be saying you need a sandwich and a pillow, right? But today we're going to go a little beyond that. But I did want to start out by saying that because sometimes you can hyper-spiritualize it. One of my favorite things, I grew up doing missionary work there, and they take Saturday off very religiously as a Jewish nation. So when you're there, everything shuts down. And as I went there, I guess it was 8 years that I went there pretty consistently. So by the eighth year, the country was starting to modernize a little bit and things were opening up a little bit more. But in the beginning, everything would just shut down and you couldn't get a taxi. You couldn't go anywhere. The restaurants were closed. If you needed something at the grocery store, you couldn't get it. And it was like this peace came over an entire nation the size of New Jersey. It was absolutely amazing. So there is a peace that comes when we honor the Sabbath as well. But I'm not talking about the Sabbath as much today either, although that's something that can be amazing if you are looking at what that can look like for you right now. But 52% of people say they are burning out right now. And that's up 9% since the 2020 pandemic. So I don't know, has that word ever come out of your mouth recently? I'm burning out, right? It's a thing. If you raise your hand, technically 52% of us should actually statistically raise our hand. Lack of sleep, now I don't know how this actually plays out, but lack of sleep costs the United States over $411 billion annually. I don't know why. I was trying to figure out, like, what does that actually mean? I'm not sure, but that's a lot of money and mistakes at work, or I'm not sure. But Hawaii has the shortest sleep duration, and South Dakota has the longest. Again, I have no idea why. Maybe everyone wants to get to the beach. Anyone want to get to the beach? I would wake up. I would. That would motivate me, right? So sleep has been it's an issue, and it's almost like an underlying pandemic. Lack of sleep is happening in our country. And I think that one of the reasons why is because when you're hit with circumstances that you aren't prepared for, it's really hard to rest. Anybody else find that? Like, you have to find your place of peace in the storm. And it's the storms that we aren't prepared for that catch us off guard, not the storms we prepare for, right? Have you ever prepared for, like, a blizzard? And here, if you've lived here for a while, you know, you go to the store, you get your canned goods, and then you hunker down, you get your snowblower. Maybe you park your cars in a specific direction, right, for the snowplow. Anybody ever done that so they don't get bulldozed in. If you haven't, you probably should. It'll help. And then the snow comes, and you might even feel cozy, right? You might even feel at peace, maybe, right? Depending. If it's a May blizzard, maybe not, but you might feel at peace. But it's the storms that we aren't prepared for that catch us off guard. And I don't know if you guys remember the Texas Snowmageddon, they called it. Anyone remember that? I don't know. Was that like 3 years ago? I don't actually remember. Maybe two. No, it was before 2020, I guess. I don't know. They all blur together after 2020. But there was this massive snowstorm and ice storm in Texas, and the entire state shut down. Why? Well, because they weren't. And, you know, if Alaska, if Florida looks like Alaska, how many know everything would shut down, right? Even if you get like 5 inches in Florida, you're not going anywhere, right? They had 1 inch. Oh, even 1 inch. I'm like, they had an inch of snow. But in Texas, one of the amazing things that happened that was not good amazing was that they had a major crisis with their power grid, because their power grid is the only power grid that is independent of all the other power grids in the country. In other words, if the state shuts down, they can't tap into any. They're independent. They're trying to be self-sufficient. Now, God bless Texans, right? But when the power grid failed, they were 4 minutes. I saw this in an article. They were 4 minutes away from losing power for weeks, if not months. And it would have ended with a lot of, I would imagine, deaths and other really long-term issues. And it was because they were not prepared for it. And so I want to speak to or is feeling like they can't rest because life is hitting them in ways they were not prepared. And that's not a new experience to have on earth, but for some reason humanity keeps having it happen to us and we keep feeling like it's a new experience. So let's go into the scripture here. We're gonna look at a couple of scriptures, but first we're gonna look at John 16:33. This is just a good foundation when we're talking about rest. This is Jesus speaking. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. That word peace means undisturbed. How many want to be undisturbed right now? That would be a really good thing to be, right? How many know that if you've got Jesus inside of you, you actually have access to being undisturbed? Isn't that amazing? In this world, you have trouble. Trouble means anguish or burdened there. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I looked up the meaning of the word overcome because I was looking for something very profound. But guess what it means? It means overcome. I think we just have to actually believe what the scripture says there. He has actually. So as we're talking about rest, we need to understand that rest isn't something that God is teasing us with. Rest is something Jesus died to give us already. And it's now a choice on our end whether we'll receive him as our rest. Amen? So we're going to actually go into the book of Genesis, and we're going to land here for a while. So if you want to open up your Bible to Genesis 6, that's where we're going to be. How many know that God is a builder, right? And if God is a builder and we're made in his image, then we are builders as well. So we are always building something. Have you ever done something in your life, maybe a habit, and then 5 years later, you realized you built this habit into your life and you don't even know why you're doing it and it's actually destructive? Or maybe it's just silly, like some cooking habit that's been passed down through the generations and you have no idea why you have to mix these two ingredients together before the others, but you just do because your mother did and your grandmother did or whatever it is. There are weird habits that get built into our society and into our families, and it's because we're builders and we're always building something. In your relationships, you're always building something. In your health, in your finances, in your workplace, with your kids, you're always building something. And the question is, are you aware of what you're building? And I love these two examples because we're either building an ark for God's presence to rest on and a safe place during chaos, like Noah, or we're building an idol from our past, like the Israelites did when they built the cow or the bull in the wilderness while Moses was up on the mountain. And so we're either building something from our past or we're building something from God's instructions. And there are only really two options. So we're going to look at chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. Now, when I heard the word rest, when I was praying into today, I also kept thinking of the story of Noah, and I couldn't figure out why. Does anybody know what his name means? It means rest. Isn't that cool when God says something like that? I was like, am I really supposed to share on rest? And God was like, well, look up the story of Noah. So I'm looking at Noah, and then suddenly it hits me. Wait a minute. His name means rest. So I love this because during the most chaotic time in the entire globe, I don't care how bad it gets right now, it was worse then. God chose to save the future of humanity through rest. Isn't that amazing? Why would he not do that again through us? So let's look at this. Genesis 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination, everyone say every. That is not what you want to be reading there, right? That's a headline you don't want to see on any news network. Every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah, everyone say, but rest. Found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people, and he walked faithfully with his God. That word walk means traveled continually. It also means floated. I just thought that was cool. I don't think Noah necessarily floated with God, but he did float during the 40 days with God, right? That was kind of a joke. No one laughed, but that's all right. That word favor, it says Noah found favor. How many know that that's a really important sentence? That's a defining, that sentence saved all of humanity. That sentence is why you and I are standing here. And if you find favor with God, that sentence might be why two generations down, someone else is sitting where you are sitting. So this is important. That word favor means grace, and it's actually the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. It also is the same root that my name comes from. So I always like to say Noah found me first, but that's okay, right? Noah found Hannah and favor there. But in the middle of a mess, God chose to use rest to save humanity, right? And what I love is that, you know, it was like the biggest storm, right? God chose rest during the biggest storm. How many know Jesus chose rest during the biggest storm too? Isn't that cool? I never saw that scripture as kind of looking back, ever think Jesus just kind of winked at some old scriptures, like, let's see if they figure this out. I'm actually going to be like Noah here for just a second. We're going to sleep during the storm. And the disciples had no clue. Sometimes we have no clue the cool things that God is doing and weaving together in our lives and bringing scripture into our lives that we don't even realize. So what you do when you are tired and you are surrounded by chaos actually determines whether you're going to float or you're going to drown in the waters, right? How many know there are waters right now? Literally, as I wrote this message on Tuesday was when just the tragic shooting happened, as I was writing this. And so this isn't a message that says, you know, go take a nap and be a resting place. This is a message that says, I believe it's in, is it Luke 17? Yeah, Luke 17. It says that when Jesus comes back, it's going to be like the days of Noah. So things might get a little bit more crazy, although I'm not trying to be a doomsday messenger, because what it actually means is that the church is supposed to become more and more like Noah. We're supposed to be building a place of rest for people to come and be a refuge in, right? And so what we do in the chaos will determine whether we're a safe place or whether we're just a spectator watching all the mess out there. I don't want to just turn on the news and get afraid or follow randomly, be a participator in building the ark on earth right now. Amen? And we build the ark when we build our family, when we build, if you're single, when if you're building friendships or community or in your workplace, hey, whatever sphere of influence, whatever season of life you're in, you can build an ark. You can build a safe place for God's presence to rest and that God will draw people in. What I love is it says, let's see, I'm skipping ahead everywhere, but that's all right. We're just going to go there. in verse 17, it says, bring a pair, this is God speaking to Noah, bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you. Now, if Noah had to go get all the male and female pairs, that would have taken forever, right? But it actually says next that the animals were brought to him. So during the time of Noah, the animals were listening to God more. Ever think about that? Ever see a squirrel in Ithaca and be like, you might be hearing God's voice more than the house you're on? That's a humbling thought. Maybe a squirrel will put me in my place, right? It says that they follow, like they must have followed God's voice, right? There wasn't like some siren that could have been broadcasted on television. The animals must have heard God's voice and followed God to the ark. And I love Charles Spurgeon's quote. It's amazing. It says, by strong perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Isn't that great? Hey, some of us might feel like snails some days. If you reach church today and it was by very strength, that happens to more of us than not. It's that we made it that matters. Amen? So let's just break this down for just a few more minutes. We got a pony ride happening soon, which was actually very appropriate. Unfortunately, there's not a male and a female pony ride, so there's also no actual ark out there, but that's all right. We got a little bit of creation happening. But let's break this down. We access God's rest when we choose to walk with him and prepare with him. How many prepared and stocked up food like 20 years ago? Anybody do that? You don't have to raise your hand if you're embarrassed. It's okay. Some of us still have our dried beans. I love this. I grew up and I also had that. And my dad finally said, you know, if we're going to go hungry, let's at least stock up on ice cream next time or something that we want. Now, unfortunately, there are some actual real life food shortages right now. And if that's hitting you, it's not a bad idea to actually get some things now. It's a little different in the world these days. But don't forget the ice cream. All right. That's what Pastor Tom says. If anyone wants to know what the head elder says, candy bars. That's what he wanted. Luke 17, verse 20. Now, this scripture actually used to be in our foyer before we changed the name of our church, and then we put another scripture up. But this is an amazing scripture. Once being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, that's a great question to ask Jesus. Have you ever asked him? When are things going to look different? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. So we build God's kingdom from the inside out, right? That's why we were wearing like our shirts inside out a couple weeks ago. We're not that weird a church. Maybe we are a little bit, but why not show it, right? From the inside out, God's kingdom comes. And it didn't matter how crazy the world was, Noah was still able to build a resting place for God. Sometimes I think we get, could happen, what if this does happen, that we forget to listen to God now. And if Noah hadn't followed the instruction and prepared the way God had told him to, there could be leaks in the ark, right? Ever think about that? It was very important that Noah listened to God more than Noah listened to the chaos around him. And that's a word for someone this morning. Make sure you're listening to God more than the noise. There's a lot of noise, and there are a lot of amplifiers and subwoofers happening of noise out there. God is saying, are you listening to me more than the chaos and the noise? Our ability to rest lies in whether we are walking with God or listening to the noise. I like this. I heard a pastor say once, when you walk, God talks, right? That word walk, it says that Noah walked with God. And that word walk is only used two times before. And one of them was Adam and God walked in the cool of the night. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Because through Jesus, we can walk with God in the cool of the night. The other one is with the man who walked with God that got taken up and disappeared. All right? So that's the other scripture. If you're curious about those stories, just look backwards from Genesis, or the beginning of Genesis, rather, because it gets into detail. But that's the power of walking with God. One of them is in the Garden of Eden. The other one, the guy was walking with God so closely, he just disappeared. Like Caleb, I know he's a great pastor, but if we don't see him next week, he walked with God, right? There you go. But that's the level that we are called to walk with God. And that's really powerful. And so when you walk, God talks. And this is what I'd heard the pastor say. He was like, if you're not walking, you might wonder why God isn't talking. So I take that personally. You know, if I'm sitting on my couch, if I'm scrolling, if I'm watching stuff, or maybe I'm just in a hamster wheel stuck in broken negative cycles, I'm not walking anywhere, I'm going in circles. I might be wondering why I can't hear God talking. It doesn't mean he's not talking, but it might mean that I'm not walking with him so I can hear him. So it's a heart check today. In order to access God's rest, make sure you're actually walking with God, not just watching from afar the chaos going around. Amen? So, number two, we have access to God's rest when we follow God's instructions. If you go into the staff room, you'll see a very sad sight. Before I tell that, how many here are instruction readers? Let's just start there. That is the problem with our church. Right there. We just figured it out. I didn't even need to do a personality test. How many do not read the instructions? I feel you. This isn't good. Okay. Most of our leaders also raise their hands. Jesus, send us instruction readers, right? So there's this like IKEA thing it's like a shelving unit in the staff room. And Leah, we were redoing the staff room. It's very nice. You can go see it. And we're looking at it. And I'm like, I'm going to build it. Brian's not going to build it. I'm going to build it. I'm a capable person. Like, I'm a leader too. My husband doesn't have to do everything that's manual labor. So I put all the pieces out. And there's an instruction thing. And I tried to follow the instructions. I actually did try. But I did not succeed. And if you go in there, it's the ugliest cabinet because it's backwards. The whole thing is backwards. So this like corkboard stuff is on the front instead of this beautiful white finish. It's so embarrassing. And every time I go in there for staff, I see the memory of me failing. So it's just a very humbling experience in there. But instructions matter, right? Instructions matter. And sometimes I feel like the church is wandering around the earth saying we don't have any instructions. And God's saying, I wrote, I don't know how, it depends on how big your print is, but I wrote hundreds of instructions here, printed on hundreds of paper. Get into the word. Get into your instruction manual. If you want to build a healthy relationship, believe it or not, there's actual instructions. There's a right way to do it, there's a wrong way to do it, and there's mercy in between along the journey. But there are instructions. And as a church, when the waters rise, we can't be building our arcs based on our own ideas. We have to have God ideas, not just good ideas. Because God ideas leave a legacy. They bear fruit. Good ideas might seem logical, might seem possible with our own strength. But God ideas bring us to our knees. And so as I'm just beginning to wrap up here, I want you to ask yourself, are the things in my life, and I'm not talking about the storms, because a lot of times we say, oh, the storms of life are bringing me to my knees, but I want God to bring me to my knees before a storm does. If a storm brings me to my knees before God, I might be worshiping the storm. Now, if the storm brings you to God and that brings you to your knees, that's fine. I'm not trying to get all weird, but what I'm saying is, kneel before Jesus before you kneel in a storm. That's how we get rest. One a pastor that I look up to every night, I don't know if he still does it, but I heard him say once, every night he gets on his knees and he thanks God for the day. And I try to do that at night because I've found that sometimes when I don't do that, I carry stuff from the day before into the next day. But if I get on my knees before God, I'm saying I bow before God. I don't bow before anything else. Amen? So why don't you stand on your feet here? What's funny? Oh, well, I could have said get on your knees, but we don't have knee pads in this church, so. The peace of God that you've been receiving last season might be preparing you for something in the next season. The courage that God is building in you last season might be preparing you for a storm that's coming. Not a storm that's going to wipe you out, but a storm that's going to give you an opportunity to be a safe place for people to meet Jesus. That's a really big distinction. Building healthy community last season might be the ark in the coming storm, so you're not alone. Trusting Jesus when you have nothing might be preparing you to walk humbly when you actually have something to bless others with. God is always preparing. He is a preparing God. He doesn't like to just send blizzards and wipe people out without preparing things, right? Spiritually, he likes to prepare us. And sometimes life hits us. I'm not saying that God's going to tell you in 5 years and 2 days you're going to get a doctor's report, and I'm going to prepare you now for that doctor's report, right? Sometimes life surprises us. But what we need to realize is God has been building for a long time in your life. He cares about you. He's trying to build something with you in your life so that when life does hit you, you have an ark. And I want to speak to anyone who thinks that maybe they've wasted time or they can't see how God has been preparing you. And as I said during worship, God can do more in 5 minutes than you can in a lifetime alone. So you give God 5 minutes of your time, even right now in prayer, and he'll build something in you that's stronger than any storm out there. This isn't a game. This isn't like a 5-foot wave hitting a tiny little teacup. God isn't a teacup. God is like an ocean liner, and that's what each of you are. You may not feel it, and that's okay. It's not about a feeling. It's about trusting something beyond a feeling. It's about being with somebody else. That's why church is so important. It's about locking arms and saying, no, no, we're an ark together. When the waters rise in our schools, our kids are going to be learning about Jesus together. When the waters rise in our workplaces, we can encourage each other when everything else is negative. Thrive is committed to building a resting place on earth in the rising waters. And Thrive is not only committed to doing that here on Sundays and through gatherings, but it's about helping you build your family or build your life, whatever season you're in, to be that resting place wherever you go. So Jesus, we just thank you right now that we are a resting place for you. We don't have to be part of the 53% that are burning out. And to anyone here who feels that way, God, I thank you that you are speaking wisdom. You are speaking breakthrough. If we need to shift our routines or we need to take a nap or eat something different or maybe whatever it is, shift our schedules. God, I thank you you're speaking wisdom. You're a God of wisdom, but you're also a God who has overcome. And we aren't in a battle against lack of rest. You've already overcome it. We get to walk into victory and release the victory in the battle, not just fight it on our own. So Jesus, I just thank you that we are a resting place for you. And even this week, I thank you that we can be a witness to what it looks like to be a resting place for God. It might just look like crying out for help instead of cussing or complaining or whatever. Whatever it looks like in each of our lives, I thank you that we're choosing you. We're choosing to be a resting place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So be a witness this week, be a resting place, but don't go take a nap because there's a bunch of food and there's a bunch of fun stuff outside. Listen, if you know somebody that needs a touch from God and didn't come today, we're going to be outside until 1:30. They can come by, they can get a hamburger, we can get some prayer going, their kid can ride a pony, whatever it is. Have some fun. Church can be fun too. I think the greatest miracle in the ark was that all the animals didn't kill each other. Can we just be honest? No one talks about that one. So go have some fun. Say hi to someone. Hey, say hi to someone in church that you don't normally say hi to, and let's build some community.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.